I'm going to be reading portions, just small portions of four different passages this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and Psalm 17, Proverbs 7, Zechariah 2. A portion of all four of those chapters for our consideration this morning. This subject's been on my mind for some time. This phrase or idea or thought. So we're going to look at it for a little while this morning. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity of gathering together, for the songs that we've sung, the song that we just listened to. They're all so meaningful. Touch our hearts this morning. Bring us into worship and praise to our great Father in heaven and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're blessed today to be among your people and our Christian family. And Father, now as we look into your word, I pray for that special anointing that is needed in preaching your word. Give us that touch that is needed today, a clarity of mind and speech. Help me to know and feel your presence and your leadership. Touch our hearts, I pray, and be receptive to what you have for us. Bless us with your presence, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The phrase or the thought, the idea is living as the apple of God's eye. One of the churches that my dad pastored, one of the men there, one of the main men in that church, always let us out in the chorus, "Keep me, Jesus, as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wing." And so for a couple of years that I lived there, we sang that chorus, I don't know, at least two Sundays out of the month, every month it seemed like. He wanted to sing that song over and over again. What a beautiful thought that it is. And it's come back to me here of late, the last few weeks. The apple of God's eye. To live as the apple of God's eye is to live with the awareness that you are deeply loved, carefully guarded, and called to remain close to Him. The expression, the apple of God's eye, is not merely a privilege, but it's about a relationship that inspires a devotion from the recipient as well as obedience to the eye. He wants us to be the apple of His eye. The phrase "the apple of His eye" or something, some form of it, appears in a few different scriptures. I'm going to look at four of these this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 10, "He kept him as the apple of His eye." Psalm 17:8, "Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings." Proverbs 7:2, "Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye." And Zechariah 2, verse number 8, "He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of His eye." What does the apple of the eye mean? Well, I'm told that the apple of the eye is a Hebrew expression that literally refers to the pupil of the eye. The pupil is one of the most delicate and protected parts of the human body. Think about it. Without even thinking, we have an instinct to blink, to turn our heads, to raise our hands to shield our face, to shield our eyes. Anytime that there's danger that is taking place, The blink of the eye can take place in just a flash, just in the blink of an eye. How profound is that? Something's coming at the eye, and you don't have time to get your head out of the way, or even though you try to turn your head away and get the hands up to protect, it's the blink that takes place so quick to protect and shield the eye. It's been 39 years since I was in Haiti and had that experience with the stones and the rocks being thrown at us. And I still, 39 years later, still have a tendency when something is flying at the windshield of the vehicle, I tend to duck down, take my eyes off the road, because there's something about that shielding of ourselves that we tend to do. Don't know what it was that hit the windshield Friday evening coming home. My wife was driving and something hit the windshield. She said, I wonder if that was a bat. I don't know what else it could have been, the thud of the windshield. But whenever things like that happen, you blink or you try to shield yourself. And that's what I understand is the reference here of being the apple of his eye, something that is protected, something that is shielded, something that is cared for in a very special situation, remaining close to him as well. God uses this picture to describe his care for his covenant people. You'll see that these references are all Old Testament references, and so we understand that he's speaking to or about the children of Israel, but we also can bring it over into the context of our lives to see and to realize it as well, that he watches over them with an attention to the details and to protectiveness and the tender affection of protecting the eye, the apple of the eye, living as the apple of God's eye. Are you living as the apple of God's eye? There's at least five things that I want to consider, and I'm trying to get through them as quickly as possible this morning. Number one, live in the confidence of his love. If I'm living as the apple of his eye, then I can live in the confidence of his love. You see, I don't have to earn God's affection by my performance. As easy it is for us from time to time to get caught up in that very thing, I'm trying to earn his affection by a performance. But in Christ, we that are in Christ, believers that have been adopted into his family, we can know that we are loved. And when we know that we are loved, then we stop serving out of fear and begin serving out of gratitude. We can change the wording there a little bit. We can stop obeying out of fear and start obeying out of gratitude. But living as the apple of God's eye would indicate to us that he loves that apple, and he's protecting that apple with a love no matter what takes place. Now, that is not a license to go out and do things that are wrong and sinful. That is not a license to sin. It's simply to recognize that it's not my performance that gains his attention or gains his affection. In the New Testament, John records for us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1, something that I believe that we ought to have highlighted, at least in our mind when we read this passage. He said, behold, he starts that with the word behold. He wants us to have attention to this particular verse. He wants us to follow with attention to what he's saying. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. If I could inject here another passage of the New Testament, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we who were once in sin, dead in sin, we should be called the sons of God. Isn't that a high calling? Isn't that a phenomenal understanding, to be called a son, a child, a daughter, whichever one you want to choose for yourself there, a child of God? Isn't that a high, that's a spectacular calling. To live in the confidence of his love. Number two, to live under his protection. That ought to ring a bell with what I've already said, that the pupil, the eye, this thing that we're talking about that we protect, we instinctively shield anything that we can from going into the eye. And it would reveal to us that we live under his protection. If we are living as the apple of his eye, that he is protecting, that he is shielding, being the apple of the eye, of God's eye, does not mean that we will never face trouble. And I think we all are aware of that. As much as we would like to say, oh God, I'm your child, shield me from this trouble. Keep me from having to climb this mountain. Allow me to go around the depths of this valley. I don't want to go through this Jordan. I don't want to pass through this fire with the children of... I don't want to go into the lion's den with Daniel. Keep me... No, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying... As Israel went through a number of things, and people of Israel went through a number of things, it does not mean that he is keeping us from trouble. It means that nothing reaches God's children apart from his knowledge and his sovereign purpose. His sovereign purpose. If I'm living as the apple of his eye, he has a sovereign purpose for me. You said, well, he has a sovereign purpose for everyone. I know, but I'm talking to the people that want to be the apple of, to live as the apple of his eye. He has a sovereign purpose for everything that comes. And he protects and he shields. David's the one that prayed Psalm 17:8, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Could we take about an hour or two and remind us of all of the flowery gardens of life that he lived in? Well, it wouldn't take us too long, would it? It wouldn't take us an hour. But if we talked about all of the thorns that he had to deal with, it could take us an hour. And yet we see that David is the one saying, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of your wings. He knew that there was protection as the apple of God's eye. Number three, live carefully because you belong to him. I read that verse in Proverbs. Proverbs is a good book, isn't it? So many Proverbs in there. You can pull them out one verse at a time and apply them to life. There's so much in the book of Proverbs. That's why some people read the book of Proverbs through every month. 31 chapters, 31 days in a lot of the months. So there's ability to read one chapter a day and read through the Proverbs. I'm telling you, the more you read the Proverbs, the more refreshed you can become, because of the Proverbs have so much meaning in our lives. Here we find the proverb writer in 7:2 say, keep my commandments. God speaking through the proverb writer, keep my commandments and live, and my law. Oh, he shifts it around now, doesn't he? You see, the writer here of Proverbs isn't talking about you living or me living as the apple of God's eye, but he's shifting it around to put responsibility or even a desire in the heart of God's apple of his eye to make his law the apple of their eye. So I believe that what I'm trying to say here is that if I'm living as the apple of God's eye, that God's law will become the apple of my eye. Isn't that what he's saying? Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Just as much as God treasures his people, what he's wanting us to understand is that we should treasure his word. Are you living as the apple of God's eye? Are you treasuring his word? Are we guarding his commandments the way that we would instinctively guard our own eyes? Now again, let me state that God's protection never becomes an excuse for careless living. But he is calling us to live carefully because we belong to him. Number four, what we find here as we try and long to be living as the apple of God's eye, number four would give us the idea that we should live close to him. Live close to him. I love that verse in the Psalms that says that he will guide us with his eye. If you remember, I've done the bells and have five or six people, I think it's six people up here with bells, and I'm way at the back of the room and holding up the cards, and they're able to play Amazing Grace off of the cards. And then I tell the ones that are holding the bells, if you remember that illustration, that example, I said, now I'm going to just look at you, and when I look at you, you play that note. You ring your bell, and immediately they're standing in front of all the crowd and they're saying, oh, we can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because you're too far away. And so when I get closer to them to where they can now see my eyes, then they are able to play the song as I look at each one individually. And so we get that picture in the Psalms that I am able to be guided by his eye means I have to be close enough to see his eye. And so that's where I find it in this particular one as well, that I have to live close to him. What does that mean? What am I trying to say? First of all, I'm trying to say that the pupil functions only when it's connected to the body. Boy, I could spend a lot of time there. But I'm talking to the choir, so to speak, this morning. The pupil functions only when it's connected to the body. And what I'm trying to say in that phrase is that Christians can only thrive as they continue in fellowship with Christ through prayer, through scripture, through worship, and that includes corporate together worship and obedience. Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, verse 5, abide in me. Abide in me. For without me, he said, you can do nothing. I've been reminded again here the last couple of weeks of the words of John the Baptist. Maybe it's because of that guy that was singing for that music competition. I don't remember what it is right now, but that heavy set fellow that had a phenomenal voice, and he was singing the song that he must increase and I must decrease. The words of John the Baptist. I must decrease, he must increase. National media, he sang that song with such power. The judges were crying. Why? Because there's something real about the necessity for all of us that he would increase and that we would decrease. that I live close enough to him, because without him I can do nothing. Number five, live with compassion toward others. Live with compassion toward, you say, well, how in the world does that fit? Well, let's go back to that last verse, that last one that I looked at, that I read. You see, Zechariah here is teaching that when God's people are harmed, it's as though somebody stuck a finger in his eye, in God's eye. He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Did you catch what that means? It means that as God's compassion, God's regards to us, God's love to us, that we should then do the same thing for fellow man, especially our Christian brothers and sisters, that we do not touch God's eye. That means that it should shape how we treat our fellow believers. Because if they're precious in God's eyes, they should be precious in our eyes. Well, they're different than I am. They have a different standard than I do. They believe differently than I do. You know, again, reminded that Jesus told his disciples, if they're not against me, they're for me. They're with me. Let's not rebuke them. Let's be careful about them. Even though they may be different from us, it doesn't mean that I have to kick at them or to poke God's eye by touching them with some kind of mistreatment. Now, you say, well, what does this all mean? Well, again, I'm talking about living as the apple of God's eye, and if I'm living, trying to live as the apple of God's eye, then there's an application that is found in these verses for us. Five verses, five thoughts, five simple reminders. I am loved by my Father. I am watched over by my shepherd. I am called to holiness. I will keep his word close to my heart. And I will treat his people as precious. Isn't that incredible thoughts out of the apple of God's eye? And so if for me to live as the apple of God's eye is not to demand special treatment from him, but is to respond to his covenant love by walking faithfully with him. You see, those that are know that they are cherished by God, desire to honor the one who cherishes them. Those who know they are cherished by God desire to honor the one who cherishes them. One final observation. The safest place in the world is not where there is no danger. It is where the eye of God is continually upon you. The safest place in the world is not where there is no danger. It is where the eye of God is continually upon you. That is the privilege and the responsibility of all of us who belong to Christ, who live as the apple of his eye. Let's stand together. Amen. Praise God. Keep me, Jesus, as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wing. Praise his name. Ben Bridges, would you dismiss us with prayer?